Welcome to the Alpha One edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the Alpha One antitrypsin deficiency community.
Hello, and welcome to the Rare Care Podcast. This is your host, Larry Luxner, senior correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're at the 2024 NORD Breakthrough Summit in Washington, D.C., and our guest today is Kristin Hatcher, the Director of Pediatric and Rare Diseases at the Washington-based Global Liver Institute. Kristin is from Elizabethton, Tennessee, and at 42 years old, she's the oldest living Alpha-1 patient in her family. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a bit about Alpha-1 and your story.
Alpha-1 antitrypsin is typically known as a pulmonary disease, but the more we've learned about the disease, we've learned that it actually originates in the liver, and there are a bunch of different types of alphas. From the ZZ, the ZZ alphas are typically the most severe, and there are MZ alphas, and we're all affected different ways.
And when did you first become aware of the disease? Obviously, it's something that runs in your family.
Yes, it is a genetic disease. My father, who was a police officer, got really, really sick in his 30s, late 30s, early 40s. His father had died, also a police officer, very early from kind of pulmonary issues. So we thought we were all just going to die young. He was diagnosed in his late 30s, early 40s, after having a lot of issues with his pulmonary issues. He'd always been really healthy. He was a policeman, and his father had died young. So he went 3.5 hours away from our hometown in East Tennessee, and he and his wife moved to Nashville after diagnosis, actually, and he was diagnosed there. And thankfully, the Alpha-1 Foundation had a program where you could get diagnosed by pricking your finger and sending it in. And so that's how I was diagnosed.
Amazing. How has it affected your life?
Oh, I have answers. I don't have a cure because really, the only cure is transplant, but I have two rare diseases. I have von Willebrand's disease, which is a bleeding disorder. And so the only cure really for Alpha-1 is a lung and liver transplant. I can't have that. They did a hysterectomy, so it cured the symptoms really for me. And if I'm not symptomatic after I was diagnosed with Alpha-1, I felt like, wow, I have a whole lot more to worry about than this. Like, this isn't really affecting my life. But then, now that I've discovered more about Alpha-1, and the only cure for Alpha-1 is so far a liver transplant, I can't have that.
So what are you doing for the Alpha-1? If you don't mind, what medications are you on, and does it involve any limitations on your lifestyle?
Oh, absolutely. Right now I'm pre-infusion. My levels are right at the levels that most people would start considering infusions. But my father, God rest his soul, had them weekly, and they affected his life and his quality of life in a very negative way.
At what age did he pass away?
He passed away at 56.
I see.
Yeah.
So how much is known about Alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency in Eastern Tennessee?
Oh, my goodness. And if you look, thank goodness, the Alpha-1 Foundation did a really great natural history study, and they produced a poster. And I looked on that poster, and like 30% of alphas in the United States come from almost my region of East Tennessee, but not a whole lot's known there at all.
Appalachia?
Yeah, the Appalachian region.
Why do you think that is?
It's kind of known as a Vikings disease. So if you look at the way people immigrated, they just kind of, a lot of folks stuck there, I think. But the Alpha-1 Foundation did a really great job of producing that poster, which made me realize something that even though a lot of alphas are in this area, I've never heard anyone that sounds like me talk about Alpha-1.
So there's not a lot of knowledge about the disease.
There might be a lot of knowledge about the disease, but for the folks who have it, like, if representation matters, and if you don't look like me or sound like me, like, that information's probably not going to get to me. And I feel it's the exact same way with the rest of my family. There are undiagnosed Alpha-1 patients in my family, I know. But they don't have anyone that sounds like them and talks like them in a way that they can understand to explain this disease.
Let me ask you this. You are working with the Global Liver Institute. And because of the unique nature of this particular disease in that it has both a liver and a lung component, most of the attention on alpha-1, as I understand it, has been on the pulmonary side, right?
Correct.
Not really a lot of attention has been given to the way that it affects a patient's liver. Why is that?
Well, it's a whole lot easier to get a liver than lungs. So I really appreciate the fact that the Alpha-1 Foundation did look at the lungs first, because a lot of alpha-1 patients were dying of pulmonary-related disorder, you know, of pneumonia, for example. So they were trying to stop the bleeding, trying to put the Band-Aid on it. But now that they have a lot of the things figured out in the pulmonary aspect, they're really starting to look at the origins, I think, of the disease, which is the liver. So now that they have it Band-Aided, have some folks identified, natural history created, biomarkers are identified now, we can really start diving in to not just helping the alpha patients, not just treating the alpha patients, but maybe curing the alpha patients.
So at the Global Liver Institute, you're the director of pediatric and rare disease. Can you talk about your role?
I have only been there 5 months. Honestly, I started at Combined Brain, and Combined Brain is a consortium of 120 rare pediatric monogenic neurological diseases. So I really believe in the power of consortia. And Alpha-1 Foundation did join the Global Liver Institute as one of our council members. And we have a lot of initiatives that we're doing this year. And one of them is the Rare and Rural Initiative, making sure that...
Well, you heard what the commissioner of the FDA said about that, Dr. Robert Califf. He said one of the biggest inequities in healthcare in the United States today is that between urban and rural areas.
I completely agree.
And that if you live in a big city, you'll have access to doctors and expertise and genetic testing and technology that rural people simply don't have.
I felt like he was honestly reading my emails. It's something that the underserved populations were very easy to ignore, but were very costly too. If you look at the closure of rural hospitals, they're closing because we have these really complex patients with really complex needs that are going to places that are not equipped for them, wasting money on tests that shouldn't be run. Not because the doctors are, you know, doing anything bad, but because they're just looking for answers that if it was at a large hospital, they'd have the answer. They have the expertise. They have the knowledge.
So getting back to you and the way that this disease affects you personally, can you tell us what limitations does it have on you personally?
I was a teacher for a lot of years, and that's actually my passion and my calling. I taught underprivileged students in underserved areas, and it was the best thing of my life. But with a pulmonary disease, it's kind of hard to be around children all of the time. I was getting sick constantly, respiratory issues. And then I met Dr. Bichelle after I had made a nonprofit for my students, because they were rural students. They didn't have anyone to take them to the hospital. So I made a nonprofit, and I was kind of like an at-school mom.
I see. What about COVID? How did that affect you?
It really didn't. If I can be perfectly honest, because everything to an alpha-1 patient, you know, pneumonia is just as dangerous to me. So my husband jokes, I just might as well go around lick doorknobs at this point in the game. It could be the common cold that kills me. So I can either be super cautious or I can live my life. And I chose my quality.
Incredible. I wanted to ask you now about potential therapies. We can't really talk about a cure at this point for alpha-1, but what about therapies to mitigate the disease and allow people to actually have a life? What's out there right now?
There are infusions. There are pros and cons. Infusions are not a cure. They just stop the progression kind of where it is. My dad had some really adverse reactions to the infusion. It made him feel like he had the flu for a day, like every single week. So he dreaded them. But the weeks he skipped them, his pulmonary function declined. It was, you know, the numbers, it was obvious.
Are you doing infusions?
I'm not. I'm waiting.
You're waiting.
Yeah.
And if you do have to do infusions, how frequent would they be?
They'll be weekly.
And how much are they infusing?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I know they take an hour. You can go to an infusion center. But if you're talking about a rural patient, going to an infusion center is, gosh, that's It could be 9 hours.
What about nasal spray? What about Glassia, for example?
It is an option. It's an option I haven't explored with my doctor because, if I may be perfectly honest, my doctor's not even really up to date, as most doctors are not on their latest treatments.
Well, alpha-1 is still a relatively rare disease, yeah. Though, from what I understand, the numbers show that maybe 100,000 people may be affected, even though we're talking only a few thousand, depending on what aspect of the disease, right?
Right.
So at your stage, at this point, how much knowledge is out there and what is your institute doing to basically raise awareness of alpha-1?
I'm starting where I started myself, and that's in the education system. We are doing this February a rare and rural science fair, and we're going to go to a school. We're co-creating with this school an old school science fair poster for each of the rare liver diseases. Rare students, it's going to help them because they don't have a whole lot of opportunities that the urban students have. When you think about even college applications or internship possibilities through college, where do you get those? So going into those rural schools, we're giving the schools that. But as patients, what we're getting is we are getting people who understand the zebra hoofbeats. And it doesn't have to be a pulmonologist. They may not be a hepatologist. They could be your hairdresser. But they could say, oh my gosh, in high school, I heard about this disease and you seem to have those same symptoms. Why don't you get tested? So I'm really thinking organic and grassroots to
Incredible.
Start with.
Where will you do this fair in February?
In Mississippi, in rural Mississippi. My husband's a rural healthcare practitioner there, and we are partnering with a school.
Where in Mississippi?
It's called Tippah County.
Okay.
And it is number one in a lot of things that are not good for healthcare, but that means that we have one way to go, and that's up.
One last thing I want to ask you, for yourself and your disease, what's your prognosis?
I mean, death. Yeah, of course, death. And every single time I walk into my pulmonologist, it was my father's pulmonologist, from the receptionist to the doctor herself, they cry.
When they see you?
Every single time. Every single time. Because the numbers aren't going up. It's not like I'm looking better. I'm getting worse. I'm literally, they're watching the natural history of Kristen Hatcher. It's not, right now it's my living experience. But I understand one day it's going to be my lived experience, and they do too. So they're watching a second generation walk through their door with no closer to an FDA-approved cure than my dad was.
We're just about out of time. I'm sorry. We've been talking with Kristen Hatcher of the Global Liver Institute. Kristen is also an alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency patient from Elizabethton, Tennessee. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.